Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, August 4th. On today's podcast, we will cover the New York Jets. Well, not really the New York Jets you saw in the Hall of Fame game. Most of those guys are too deep to cover. But we will get into Aaron Rodgers and his impact on this team. Garrett Wilson, what does he do to follow up that awesome season in his rookie campaign? And, well, what do we do with Breece Hall? We'll get into that plus more on the show today. Of course, you know what I'm going to do now. Let's promote FTNFantasy.com. If you are listening to this before 5 o'clock Eastern on Friday, August 4th, you still have an opportunity to get 20% off on a Fantasy Plus subscription with the promo code RATPACK, but that changes at 5:01 Eastern. It goes down, and it goes all the way down to 10%. So take advantage of it before it goes away. Of course, you get the 2023 game plan with my draft plan. I tell you how I draft in redraft leagues. It is straightforward, and I try to make it as simple as possible so that we can dominate on draft day. You have 15 and soon to be 16 different cheat sheets that you could use. Print them out, bring them on draft day, bada bing. The keeper value chart, rankings projections, and that's just the draft kit. That's just the draft kit. You get this for in-season as well, the most accurate rankings in the industry, projections, all of the tools. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 20% off until 5 o'clock Eastern today, Friday, August 4th. If you want to win a subscription, I'm going to give another one of these out on Monday. Here's how you do it. Review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, rate the show, and in your review, make sure you leave your Twitter handle, or if you're on Instagram only, leave your Instagram handle. That's fine. And I will pick another winner. We've already given out two so far, and I'm telling you, these reviews help. So even if you don't want to enter in the contest and you do listen to this pod regularly, please review the show. It helps grow this show, and that's what I'm here to do. So anyway, I'll do that on Monday, though. Another winner will be announced. Also, a shout-out to our sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is registering right now up to September 9th. This is a really cool contest where you pick five NFL games against the spread every week of the season. Can be any five that you choose. And if you win this thing, you get $1 million. There are payouts, though, for the top 100. And you get quarterly payouts as well. So there's $300,000 up for grabs for each quarter of the season. Last place gets $100,000. $50,000 to second to last place as well. $1,000 to enter. You can enter up to five times. Register in person at Circa or any of the sister properties in Las Vegas or through a proxy service if you are out of state. Let's get into it. The Jets. Okay, so I would say last year, offensive coordinator-wise, was not exactly a rousing success for Mike LaFleur. He is out. Nathaniel Hackett is in. I am not a huge Nathaniel Hackett guy, and it really has nothing to do with last year in Denver, although that didn't help the cause. It has to do with the fact that he once told us that he was going to give the ball to C.J. Spiller until he threw up. Yep, that was Nathaniel Hackett. So, anyway, he's in. He knows what he's doing, though, at least as an offensive coordinator. I don't think he can hack it as a head coach, but him and Rodgers are on the same page. And this is the nice thing about this for Rodgers coming in. He doesn't have to learn anything new. This is not like Tom Brady going to Tampa. Tom Brady had to learn a completely new offense. Now, granted, offensive schemes are going to use common plays, but they may not call them in the same way. And Tom Brady said it was basically like I had to become fluent in Spanish after speaking only English my entire life and do so within the span of a few months. The terminology here, the verbiage, all of that for play calling, Rodgers already knows it. He doesn't have to learn Spanish here. So that's good for Rodgers. There was a lot of subtractions. So Elijah Moore is out. Mike White is out. James Robinson, Braxton Berrios out. Of course, they brought in Rodgers and his cadre of Allen Lazard and Randall Cobb. Mecole Hardman is in. Israel Abanikanda is in. And then Zach Kuntz, a deep tight end. You dynasty folks might want to keep an eye on. I don't think there's much that we're going to be able to garner from this system. Like, so here's the thing. Hackett and LaFleur have some overlap. LaFleur is a LaFleur, and his brother happens to be the head coach in Green Bay. And that's where Hackett was once. So there's continuity to last year. Though I am curious, like, do we see as much 11 personnel? They ran at 68.2% of the time. That was 10th highest in the league. I think so. Do we see as much 12 personnel? I'm not quite so sure. 22.4%, that was 9th highest in the league. We'll see. Are they going to run the ball more this year? Because they were more pass-centric last year, 64.1%. Pass play calling rate, that was 9th highest in the league. We're probably going to remain relatively pass-centric. But it will look slightly different. It will, like, we still have the, like, similar concepts, though, that are going to play out in this offense. The good news, like I said, though, Rodgers knows it. Like, Hackett came in, there were Hackett concepts, there were LaFleur concepts when Hackett was in that position for Green Bay. And let's be clear, you know, all that will go back to Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan learned a few things from Nathaniel Hackett's father. So there's a lot of threads here. I'm not going to try and unravel all of that. Maybe there's a podcast in that. Obviously there is. If you haven't listened to that Jordan Rodrigue podcast, the Play Callers series on Shanahan and McVay, it's pretty awesome. It really is. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. All right, let's move over to the players. Let's start with Rodgers. We shouldn't bury the lead here. So last year wasn't exactly good for him, but reports of his decline have been greatly exaggerated. He didn't have a 300-yard game last year, but in his MVP seasons, he had 5 in 2020 and 4 in 2021. It's not like he puts up the massive yardage. That's not what Rodgers really has ever been. You know, look at it all time. He hasn't even sniffed, he didn't even come close to a 5,000-yard season, but he doesn't have to. 48 passing touchdowns in 2020 on just 4,299 passing yards. That's where he's more effective, though. He's going to fire the ball to the end zone. And last year, the numbers weren't great. It was 37, though, so it's still over 2 per game. He had 48 in 2021. He had 44 in 2020. In terms of his average depth of target, 8.5 last season. That was good. 8.1 the year before, 8.4 the year before that, 8.8 over the course of his career. Adjusted completion rate, 75.8. Career average is 76.6. Like, last year really wasn't as bad as people make it out to be. The challenge, obviously, he didn't have, really the first time in his career as a starter with the Packers, didn't have that marquee name as his go-to wide receiver. You can go way back. A guy named Greg Jennings put a team on his back. You had Jordy Nelson, James Jones. You had Devontae Adams. Last year, he didn't have any of that. And he was getting to know those guys. And I don't think it was as bad as people make it out to be. He did push the ball vertically. 15.5% of his passes went 20-plus air yards. Only Russell Wilson and Justin Fields had higher rates among full-time starters. So this is going to be just fine. And a big part of why it's just fine is because he has Garrett Wilson, the reigning offensive rookie of the year. Garrett Wilson's a baller, man. And we've already heard out of Rodgers' mouth himself that Wilson reminds him of a guy named Devontae Adams. That's high praise, but I could see it. I can completely see it here. Last year, he posted the 13th most receiving yards from a rookie in NFL history. 1.85 yards per route run, rock solid. This is all despite the quarterback situation, you know? Quarterbacks didn't help him last year. 83 catches, 1,103 yards. Not bad. Now only 4 receiving touchdowns, and that's the number where the meat is on the bone. Like, I don't think we're going to see a massive uptick in receptions and yards. Like, could he get 90 plus? Boy, I would love that. Can he get 13 or maybe even approach 1,400 yards? Oh yeah, absolutely. But could he double his touchdown total? You know, if he reminds you of Devontae Adams, that's an area where Devontae Adams has done quite well over the course of his career with Aaron Rodgers, and he continued to do it, obviously, last year as well with Derek Carr. But still, Wilson, very good with the ball in his hands. Second among wide receivers in forced missed tackles with 22. Only Deebo Samuel forced more. He had 32. He's really good at that area, too. One area where he did struggle was in contested situations, but he did have a lot of them. He had 39 contested targets. It really comes down to quarterback play. He only caught 14 of them, which is a 36% catch rate. I'm not overly concerned there. It's just it's a minor knock. Oh, he did see 11 end zone targets, but only converted 2 for touchdowns. Again, not concerned because I'd love the end zone looks, and Rodgers is going to look his way down there. However, Rodgers did target Alan Lazard 11 times in the end zone last season. That led all the Packers. He converted 5 of the 11 for touchdowns. So Lazard is going to be a factor here. But that actually I don't think is a bad thing. Like, you can put Lazard as the X and then Garrett Wilson as the Z. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that happens because Wilson has that skill set where you can move him around a little bit more, and Lazard's just a big dude. So we could certainly see that primarily in the on the perimeter, but he did spend a lot of time, Lazard, that is, in the slot last season. 38% slot rate. That was actually higher than I thought it was going to be when I went through and doing the research for the game plan draft guide. Did run a lot of go route, 26% of the time. 7 catches on 20 targets for 230 yards and a score on go route. Also ran a lot of slant routes as well. But Garrett Wilson and Alan Lazard figure to be pretty busy. Mecole Hardman is in the mix. He was a movable chess piece for Andy Reid. Never was that, you know, Tyreek Hill replacement that some people thought he was going to be. 46% of the routes on the perimeter, 52% in the slot last season. That's about what he's done over the course of his career. I think he'll be a lot of that. And we had heard early chatter that his route tree was going to expand. I'm not really convinced because I do think we'll see some Randall Cobb as well as Corey Davis, and they'll sprinkle all of these guys in. So Hardman doesn't figure to be a fantasy factor. So let's move over to Breece Hall. Okay, so there's looming talks that the team could still sign Dalvin Cook. And if they do sign Dalvin Cook, they've painted it as more of a luxury signing. I don't view it that way. I think it would be a little bit of an indictment on Breece Hall's health coming back from this injury. So it is something we need to monitor. He's not in camp right now. He was so good in a small sample last season. 7 games, but led the league in yards after contact per attempt at 4.13. Very good in the passing game. Had 31 targets in 7 games. He was at 2.0 yards per route run, which is pretty sick. He was targeted on average 4.4 yards downfield. Now, for a wide receiver, that's a very low number. For a running back, that's a very high number. So how do we handle this? We're going to have to keep moving forward here. If/when Dalvin Cook is signed, we'll reevaluate. We also have to acknowledge, like, if Breece Hall is still not practicing on fantasy draft day for us, that has to push him down our boards a little bit. It really does. Now, again, we'll cross the Cook bridge when we come to it, but they also have Michael Carter. I mentioned Isaiah Abanikanda. It does seem like he's the decided number 4 because we saw him in the Hall of Fame game. We didn't see Carter. We didn't see Zonovan Knight. So it would seem like those guys are ahead, although, you know, things are always fluid at this time of year. Michael Carter took a big step back last season. He was pretty solid in his rookie year. Last year, not effective after contact, 2.70 yards after contact per attempt, well behind Breece Hall in that regard. Although, I will say, Zonovan Knight was 2.74, so they were pretty close to each other. So he wasn't dramatically better, or not that Knight was dramatically better than Carter or anything. But still, a big drop-off from 3.37 in his rookie season. Less explosive ability, 6.1% of his runs went for 10-plus yards last season. It was 8.8% in 2021. But he caught the ball well. 55 targets in his rookie season, 54 last year. 41 catches, 288 yards, but 41 catches is solid. That tied with Najee Harris for the 15th most among running backs. So Carter figures to be an asset there. If, let's say, Hall is healthy to start the season, and Hall got hurt again, I think we would see exactly what we saw last year. This is assuming no Dalvin Cook. Would be Carter's role largely doesn't change. Zonovan Knight then moves into Breece Hall's role as the more of the primary early down runner. Because Carter only had 114 rushing attempts in 16 games. So he's got that, like, Giovanni Bernard, Duke Johnson type profile. Whereas Knight, you know, played 7 games, had 85 rushing attempts. Didn't even play until week 12. Over the final 7 weeks of the season, he was 20th among running backs in carries. You know, not amazing, but could step right into that role. So We'll hit the pause button right now on Breece Hall, because if he's fully healthy, man, I love the dude. But I can't guarantee that right now. And the fact that the team is still mulling over, kicking the tires, trying to decide whether or not they want to sign Dalvin Cook, that's what gives me pause. Good news is it's August 4th. You're probably not drafting today or tomorrow. You know, we still have a couple weeks removed from drafts. So we'll wait and see. But it is something we definitely need to see before we can fully invest in him. You know, Breece Hall, if he was fully healthy, he'd be one of those guys. I wouldn't hate the idea of anchoring to him, but I just can't guarantee that right now. At tight end, Tyler Conklin has been the ultimate 3-for-32 tight end, but his numbers have really been not bad over the last two seasons. He has 61 catches for 593 and 3 scores in 2021, 58 catches for 552 and 3 scores last year. Here's the problem with a 3-for-32 tight end. These are guys who catch roughly 3 balls for 32 yards each week. If they score a touchdown, they're awesome. If they don't, they are not good fantasy assets. So that means that in each of the last two seasons, in 17 games played in both of those seasons, 3 weeks out of 17, Conklin was a good asset. 14 weeks, he was not. So while the numbers were actually like surprisingly decent, I'm not suggesting that he is a decent fantasy asset. The Jets in the hopper. The Eagles up next, loaded with some firepower there. We'll talk about Hurts, the wideouts, DeAndre Swift in the mix, Rashad Penny in the mix, Dallas Goedert. A lot to do right there. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK will get you 20% off until 5 o'clock. That's like 4 hours from right now as I'm about to end this recording. Then it goes down to 10%, but still hook it up. And if you want it for free, review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, rate it, put your Twitter handle or your Instagram handle in the review, and you're entered in to win. And I'm picking another winner on Monday. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, and I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.